everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, and he is engineering and producing our show. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster. It's Wednesday, December 23rd, 2020. Where in the world? Do you believe it? Christmas just a couple of days away, the day before Christmas Eve here already. Bringing folks together on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. I almost said, where in the world has this year gone? But I don't think we can say that, Tom. It seems for some people, it's like we're still stuck in March.
It hasn't gone fast enough.
It hasn't gone fast enough. And I think as I put on my holiday greetings this year, 2021 will be better. And I underlined will be. All right, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our quarterly Tucson Air Service update. Dick Grunzel is with us. Dick, of course, is the Vice President of Administration and Finance. He's the Chief Financial Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority. Dick, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you.
So, looking at passenger travel for this year, how is it going to shape up?
Well, ever since April, which was, kind of the rock bottom in terms of air travel, which was running about, 4 to 5% of prior year for the month of April, things kind of steadily, grew to the extent that in October, we were at about 44% of last year's passenger volume. And then, the CDC, of course, came out with and recommended against travel in about mid-November, just kind of before Thanksgiving. So things have kind of tailed off since then. So in November, the traffic at Tucson International was around 42% of prior year. And then in December now, it's gone down even further. So, lately, there's ups and downs day to day. But right now we're running, in the range of 35% of prior year.
How have the daily flights then reacted to all of this? What do those numbers look like?
In September and October, we were at about 30 flights a day. Actually in November and December, despite the fact that the passenger numbers seem to be dipping a little bit, we're up to about 34 to 35 flights per day on average. And that's roughly 60% of our pre-COVID number of daily flights. I think that increase is just kind of reflective of who the travelers are right now. I mean, of course, there are a lot of people who have to fly, whether they're, for their jobs. I mean, whether it's medical professionals or people like that. But, there are actually a lot of leisure travelers who are kind of dipping their toes back in the water of traveling. And when those people are looking to travel, what the airlines have been seeing is that they're, looking for, certainly this time of year, warm weather destinations, but also just, kind of the more wide open spaces. Tucson kind of fits in that category, along with a lot of places in the western part of the country. So, the airlines are noticing that, and that's where they're adding flights.
Well, we're all happy to see 2020 in the rearview mirror. I think as far as the leisure industry, there's a lot of hope for 2021. This stimulus, if and when it finally gets done, has a huge package, Dick Grunzel, for the airline industry.
The package that looks like it's going to be signed by the president here, any day now, includes another approximately $15 billion for the airlines to, basically fully pay and keep all of their workforce going, so that as things continue to recover, as the vaccine starts to get more widely distributed and more people start to travel, that their infrastructure and personnel are going to be in place in order to handle that increasing travel demand going forward.
Southwest Airlines, despite the COVID year, has been pretty aggressive. they're starting to add new destinations. They were adding some, and actually JetBlue as well. JetBlue added from the East Coast, Miami and Key West. So some of the airlines, I think they're, the focus now is 2021, obviously.
Absolutely.
The post COVID and getting that vaccine in as many arms as possible.
Exactly. And you know, as you mentioned, Southwest, you're exactly right. You know, Southwest probably, you know, and you could argue Delta as well, between Southwest and Delta from a, you know, financial standpoint are probably in the best shape of the U.S. domestic carriers, the large ones anyway. And so Southwest has really been aggressive in going into new destinations. I mean, they just recently, they just announced that they're going to be starting to fly to Santa Barbara and Fresno, California, mm-hmm. amazingly enough. But mm-hmm. they really are looking at, you know, since they are in a relatively strong financial position, they're trying to take advantage, quite frankly, of what they perceive as some, you know, pullbacks and weakness on the parts of the other airlines to try and make sure that they're well positioned for greater market share coming out of this.
Did they add a flight here to Houston?
Yes, they did. In last month in November, Southwest added daily flights to Houston Hobby. And boy, I'll tell you, that is a destination that we've been working, you know, Southwest
for
years to try and add that route. It's, you know, for us people here in Tucson, it really enhances the ability to get to the southeast part of the country, particularly Florida. Just tremendous, you know, great new connections to get to Florida. Also, Mexico and Latin America, since Houston Hobby is a international connecting point, you know, going to, you know, to Mexico and South, Latin America.
Are they back to the Bay Area out of Tucson?
Yes. Another good one, you know, Oakland. You know, before COVID, you know, Southwest was flying from Tucson to San Jose. And that flight, you know, was a casualty of COVID early on. And, you know, over the last few years, Southwest has kind of added a few, you know, Saturday only flights during, you know, certain times of the year to Oakland. And just within the last few weeks, they announced that in March and April, they're going to be flying that, you know, three or four times a week. And, you know, depending on how that does, there's a possibility that might stick and also become a year-round route like Houston Hobby.
And Sun Country, which has been a player here in the winter season, is back.
Yes, they are. We're always happy to see Sun Country back. They offer some great low-fare service to Minneapolis. So that's twice a week, and that's just started actually last week. So they'll be going twice a week through the, you know, early part of April.
And Frontier has decided that they will once again resume competition with Southwest from Tucson to Denver.
And competition with United, with Denver also. So you're exactly right. Frontier resumed, you know, flights to Denver last week on December 17th, Thursday. And they're going to be flying that for a couple days a week through December. Then they're going to take a little bit of a hiatus. And then they're looking at coming back in March again.
Dick Grunzel with us from Tucson International Airport. Dick, before we take the break, I want to talk a little bit about scheduling. A lot of people are making plans, myself included, for 2021. I've been looking at schedules, and a lot of the schedules you get outside of the winter season are fully loaded to what kind of pre-COVID days. It's a bit confusing for the traveler.
Yeah, it really is, and it's really unfortunate, but the strategy of the airlines in taking this kind of an approach is they just want to offer a lot of options for people and try and get as many people to book flights as possible, and then when they see how many people are actually booking those flights, Then, you know, maybe 30, 45 days out, they start kind of trimming the schedule. It's unfortunate because there are a lot of schedule changes for people who book further in advance. But at the same time, because the flights are really not very full, the airlines really are able to accommodate people. So it might not be on exactly the schedule that people book, but they're generally going to be able to get to where they want to go pretty close to the time frame that they originally booked.
And the fares just are unbelievably low right now. And those fares, once people start traveling again, and they will in 2021 after folks are vaccinated, and the latest polling I'm seeing is now that 7 out of 10 Americans say they will take the COVID vaccine, fares will go up when demand returns.
Yeah, yes, they will. And you know, and that's a great point, because for people who are looking at traveling even months out, because the fares are so low right now, and because the airlines have basically eliminated most change fees for tickets, you really have little to lose, because if for some reason you can't travel when the time comes that you originally had booked, you can always rebook it. Now, there might be a fare difference if the fares have changed at that point in time, but if there's a schedule change that's of a significant nature by, more than a couple or 3 hours, you probably will be able to rebook a flight at that same fare, even if the fare at that time is actually much higher. So it's really a low-risk proposition for people to book these low fares right now.
All right, let's pause right here with Dick Grunzel. Dick, and I know you're from the Midwest, as am I. You know about the Danish Kringle, don't you, from Wisconsin?
Absolutely. It's just delicious.
It's a flaky pastry, and it just screams the holidays, doesn't it? Yes. Mona's Danish Bakery, Dick, as you know, is home of the Danish Kringle here in town. They're up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're still taking last-minute orders, Dick, for the dinner rolls and the pies on your holiday table. Now, when it comes to pies, Dick, are you a pumpkin pie guy, or do you go the pecan route, or what's your choice?
Well, unfortunately, I like everything, but I would probably go for pecan. Would get the nod from me.
With a dollop of ice cream, or maybe a little whipping
cream. Or whipped cream. Either way.
All right. Well, they can take care of you still. They'll put in that order, though, today at monasdanishbakery.com. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner. Or Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back talking air travel with Dick Grunzel.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Had a pizza last night from Vero Amore. It was so good. I like the their Neapolitan, authentic Neapolitan pizza from Vero Amore. And the two Vero Amore locations and their sister property, Noble Hops, in Oro Valley have a promotion going on right now. $100, spend $100 and you get a $25 gift card. So you can buy $100, get you a $25 gift card. And if you bring five cans for the community food bank, they'll knock $5 off your meal. Happy holidays from Vero Amore and Noble Hops, one of our longtime legacy sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show. Dick Grunzel with us for our quarterly visit, our Tucson Air Service update. And let's talk a little bit about safety measures. I have flown, I flew a couple of times in out of TIA in 2020, and it was an outstanding experience. You've got some really new safety measures installed, Dick.
Yes, we do. And, you know, that in combination, you know, with all of the cleaning and sanitization efforts is really what we've been focusing on. And you know, those efforts have been recognized. You know, Tucson International Airport was granted star accreditation by the Global Biorisk Advisory Council a couple of months ago in recognition of our approach to cleaning, disinfection, and infection prevention. And it's really, you know, we're proud of the fact that we were one of the first five airports in the world
really?
To receive that designation.
That's a huge deal.
And, you know, more airports are now going that route and getting that, but we were one of the first five in the world. So, you know, we're pretty proud of that.
I bet you had to submit a lot of paperwork and things to even get that designation.
Exactly. They go through all of you know, our procedures, the products we use, everything. And then, you know, a lot of other things, of course, face coverings are required over the nose and mouth throughout the terminal. Lots of plexiglass barriers at, you know, customer interaction points. You know, the hand sanitizing stations all over the airport. And really some, you know, some things that, you know, fairly expensive, but I mean, we really want to do everything we can. Things like installing equipment that using UV light that sanitizes the escalator handrails on a continuous basis. So every time someone gets on the escalator and touches that handrail, it has just been sanitized by the
really?
Time they touch it.
This is some new deal with UV light?
Yes, exactly.
And that doesn't come cheap. You guys had to invest in that.
Yes, but again, but very, very important for you know, for us to do these things. We've also installed on all of our elevators, essentially, you know, basically toe activated buttons. So down, you know, near the floor, instead of actually pressing the button with your finger, you can press the button down by the floor. That's both to call the elevator, and then once you're on the elevator, inside the elevator car, those toe touch buttons are in there too to indicate which floor you want to go to.
How about the middle seat on the airlines? What is the policy now on limiting the seat capacity?
Yeah, the airlines have definitely been taking kind of differing approaches on those. At this point in time, there's really only two of the major domestic airlines that are voluntarily limiting the number of seats on their flights. Delta is one of those that has committed to keeping middle seats open, and at this point they've extended that policy through March 30th of 2021. And Alaska has also extended their limitation on seats in their aircraft through January 6th. Don't know whether they're going to extend that any further. And the other airlines that haven't done that, I mean, you know, particularly American, Southwest, United, you know, make sure you check on their websites for exactly what their policy is. But in most cases, they are not limiting seats, but in most cases, they have said that they will notify people if a flight gets to a certain capacity level and give them an opportunity to rebook to a different flight if they would like to do so.
And the airlines have really enhanced their cleaning and the sanitizing of all of the aircraft.
Yeah, they have. You know, I have actually been on airplanes a couple of times in the last few months, and you can really tell the difference. I mean, they really are making an effort. They, you know, in most cases will give you a hand sanitizer wipe when you walk on the plane. So even though they've already cleaned the plane, you can clean all the surfaces yourself. Of course, face coverings required, HEPA filters on the aircraft. So the air that's being circulated every few minutes is clean and disinfected. One of the other things that a lot of the airlines are doing right now, too, is limiting the onboard drink and food service so that there just is less interaction, you know, face-to-face, you know, with people on board. So, yeah, the airlines really are taking this seriously because obviously it's in their best interest to make people comfortable while they're flying.
How about the situation with the vendors at Tucson International Airport?
You know, for the most part, most of the food and beverage operators are going, as well as the new the news and gift operators. And actually, one of the nice things that the food and beverage outlets are doing is there's a an app called Grab, which has now been implemented inside the terminal. So you can actually go download the Grab app onto your phone. You can order food on the app, pay for it, and then go and pick it up. So it's a totally touch-free experience, you know, with no touch interaction between you and the food service provider.
Dick Runzel, the Boeing 737 MAX will be making a return. It's been cleared by the government, and it will be returning to service. Any idea when we might see them operating?
Yeah, the airlines, again, are taking differing approaches. But the first, major airline that I've seen that it's going to be resuming flights is American. They're going to be starting, you know, one or two daily flights, I believe, out of Miami to different locations with the 737 MAX. The other airlines are going a little bit slower, but most of them have said they're going to begin working the MAXs back into their fleets by spring or early summer.
And if someone has a problem, there's no charge to rebook, I guess.
That is what most of them are saying, yes. Mm-hmm. If someone is uncomfortable on the MAX and they unknowingly book a MAX flight and they the airlines are generally saying that they will let people rebook to a different aircraft if they are uncomfortable.
And as I recall, I've been on a few MAX and I thought it was a pretty comfortable ride.
Yeah, I agree. It's a state-of-the-art aircraft.
All right, Dick, what about runway capacity? Is the runway project still going ahead, the second runway project?
Yes, it is moving ahead. And like any major project, not going nearly as fast as we would like. but yes, full steam ahead as fast as we can go on getting that second runway built.
How will all that play out? What's the chronology?
Well, currently we're still in design, and with all of the environmental regulations and design requirements with the FAA, it's a major design project as well. So that really is going to be going on for the next 6 months to a year. We actually had the groundbreaking for the project a couple months ago. But construction has actually started on some of the initial projects, but that will definitely be ramping up. And, probably by the time it's all finished, probably looking at another 4 to 5 years. And it really kind of depends on how fast the funding, the grant funding from the FAA is going to come. We work with them very closely on that, but we're optimistic that because we know that this is a high priority project with the FAA, so we think we're going to be able to get that funding pretty quickly and hopefully wrap this up within 3 to 4 years.
And it'll all be state of the art, this new runway. It's actually a safety enhancement, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, it's really just bringing the entire airfield up to current FAA design standards. When a lot of our airfield was built, it's decades ago. The FAA has updated design standards, so that what this project really does is update the entire airfield to current standards and just enhances the safety of the whole airport.
Okay, Dick Grunzel from Tucson International Airport. What about the website? How is that looking these days?
FlyTucson.com. Everything you want to know and need to know about what the airport is doing to make your travel safe is on there, as well as all the information about the airlines and their flights. So FlyTucson.com, a great place to start when you're thinking about flying.
All right. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's going to be a better year. Dick Grunzel, thank you. We'll see you for your next update in about 3 months. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Have a great Christmas.
All right, you too.
All right, the Buckmaster Show Midway Point in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Father Robert is in the house, our spiritual and faith contributor, talking about some of the origins of Christmas. I mean, why do we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December? The answer might surprise you. Be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this program before Christmas Eve. And, you know, it's not too late to still pick up a poinsettia or two or three from Green Things. You know, they grew 25,000 poinsettias. They were grown locally in over, I don't know, a half dozen of their greenhouses. So they're grown locally right here, and everyone knows this holiday season that someone, the grandkids aren't coming, the family isn't going to be together. There will be a lot of people who are shut in, alone. Why not stop by Green Things at 3384 East River Road, pick up a couple poinsettias, take them over to a neighbor, leave them on the front porch, and call the neighbor and say, hey, there's a little holiday cheer for you at your front door. It would really cheer up some folks this holiday season. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com, and zocalovillage.com, the website. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. One of the things I'm just so proud of and honored to have people like Father Robert Hendrickson, the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, on our team here on the Buckmaster Show. You know, building a great group of contributors is a secret to having a winning team, and Father Robert is one of those people. He's our faith and spirituality contributor. Father Robert, Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you, and to Anne, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You know, how many times, Father Robert, over the last few days, and I know you've been extremely busy putting together the online presentation, the children's pageant for tomorrow, Christmas Eve, goes live on the internet at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then the main service will be at 5. But how many times have you heard, this just does not feel like Christmas?
A lot, you know, and it's, you know, and probably just a lot in our own household. I mean, you know, normally we're traveling and you know, the odd thing for me is this will be the first Christmas in a long time that I'll actually spend at home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, it's strange because I'm normally at church doing six or seven services a day during this time. But, you know, so it feels different for us. But then everybody you talk to sort of has this either they can't travel or people aren't coming to visit them and they're trying to figure out, what does this look like this time when we can't do all the things we normally do, right? And so I think part of what we're all trying to figure out is not only what can we do or what can't we do, but what does this holiday mean to us in this time when so much feels different?
Well, St. Philip's, one of the signature iconic services, a group of services, has been Christmas Eve. And people from all over our community in Southern Arizona have marked their calendar because the church is just beautifully decorated. It's just a real magical experience. Now that I'm in radio, I don't wear a tie every day like I used to in TV. But, you know, Ann and I would get dressed up. I'd put on a white shirt and grab one of the few remaining ties that I have, put on a sports coat, and go to Christmas Eve service. And that's when you really felt, yes, it's Christmas. And we don't have that this year.
Well,
We do have the internet.
We do have the internet. I thought you were going to say it felt like Christmas started when you heard the sermon, but that's all right. No. We have the same thing. You know, my wife and I were talking about it. It never felt like Christmas had started until we went to the Christmas pageant at Trinity on the Green in New Haven, our first Episcopal church. And here at St. Philip's, we usually have around 2,000 people on Christmas Eve
it's
and Christmas
Day.
It's
a huge event. I mean, before you came to town, they used to have tickets.
Yep.
For the services at St. Philip's.
Yeah, they used to be, and we still get lines down, you know, lines down the down the property. We have to have an entrance and an exit where people can only come in one door and go out the other door to avoid traffic jams. But and it is beautifully decorated. It is done by, you know, our Lower Point Cities are from Green Things, so maybe I'll get a little something from
there.
Them.
You go.
But it's one of those things that is a centerpiece of people's lives, right? And a center, it's that one of those high points of the year where they mark, as you say, their calendar. Mm-hmm. But I also think it contributes to that sense of, I don't know, the kind of sanctification of people's years, that there are these holy moments of the year where your life just, you know, acquires this sort of sense of holiness and purpose. And so, you know, it breaks my heart that we're not going to have that in person this year. So we are going to rely on the internet, and so we've done a lot of work for the.
You put a lot of production into this kids event.
Yeah, well, a lot of, and the 5 p.m.
You were editing a lot of stuff up until yesterday.
Up until this morning, really. I got my last piece of music
for
one of the
24
services.
Hours working on editing this stuff. Yeah,
and we got our last piece of music this morning for the 3 o'clock service. But they're both glorious, and you know what is amazing right now is you know. Watching musicians who are learning how to produce incredible music all online, you know, I was talking to our choir master, and so to produce one of these sort of, you know, choral works, they get 15 or 20 or 30 separate videos from different people in their homes that they then sync up, line up all their voices so they all, you know, are singing at the same time. Then they layer in brass, then they layer in the organ, then they layer in whatever, and it's incredible. And so even as we're missing those things in person, I think this is the year when we're trying to figure out how do we do it differently and hopefully not have to do it differently again. You know, I think that all of us are sort of hoping, let's do this, let's hold on to as much of the spirit as we can. Let's do it in a new way, and let's do it looking forward to the time we can be back together again.
And you taped your Christmas sermon, your message.
Well, I have. I taped a little while ago so that we could edit it and, you know, so I could make myself look more tan and less fat and all that.
Tightened it up a little
bit.
Great. So it really moves.
No, it's the best sermon you'll hear in a long time. So.
And the message this year?
You know, what I'm talking about this year is I was looking in the newspaper. I think it was in Washington Post. There was a story about how nursing homes and hospitals were setting up hugging stations where they would put up a clear plastic sheet with sort of holes for arms in them. And that's how people were hugging each other, was through these plastic barriers.
Wow.
And so as I thought about this season, I thought, well, what does it mean that God comes down among us to break through all the barriers, both between heaven and earth and between us and one another? And so for me, that's the focus of the sermon is on what does it mean that God breaks through all those barriers that are there, and God takes all those and sets them aside for the sake of us and to be held by us in the form of Jesus and to be loved and nurtured. To me, that's a powerful thing to think about. And we're spending so much time focusing on how to be safe and how to, you know, stay distant from one another. And God says, I'm not going to stay safe. I'm going to push into your arms, and I'm going to sort of push beyond needing to be safe. So the Christmas story is the beginning of the story, you know, that we get to Easter. And so it wasn't a safe thing for Jesus to do, to come among us. And so that's a lot of the focus of the sermon is what does that mean that God loves us that much to sort of come down among us?
Before we take the break, any suggestions for those of us who are having trouble getting into the Christmas spirit?
Yeah, you know, for us, it's always music. And so we have a sort of favorite music playlist and things like that. But the other thing
At your house?
At the house. Yeah, the house. But the other thing that I recommend is
all sorts of music.
I've discovered that we have one of those Alexa things that spies on you from Amazon. Yeah. And I've discovered that if you just tell it play Christmas carols, it plays all sorts of random modern garbage. But if you tell it play traditional Christmas carols, it will play the right music.
Uh-huh.
So we've discovered that little trick. We spent a lot of time listening to the best Christmas album of all time, which is by Mario Lanza, which I don't know when it was, 1960s, I think it was recorded. And our assistant organist at the church sort of agrees it's the best Christmas album of all time. So we listen to that a lot. Mm. So it's music, but also I would say shifting our focus from what's not here to what's here. What can I do, right? You talked about sort of delivering flowers to folks.
Yes.
You know, it's the gift giving. So we've done all sorts of small gifts and we've delivered things to our neighbors and dropped off small care packages to folks like that. Because all those things where we spend more time imagining what's possible and spend more time on what we do have rather than just dwelling on what we don't have, I think it helps us be inspired in new ways.
I was thinking about your kids and all the kids that Santa wearing a mask.
Yes. We had a visit from St. Nicholas. So at the church, St. Nicholas went out and visited kids in their homes this year. And we have all these pictures of St. Nicholas with a mask on out there visiting kids at their houses.
Tom, put your microphone down. Tom, on the other side of the glass, I want you to join in here because you just put something up on my screen. What did you want to add, Tom?
Well, we were talking about Christmas music and the kind of thing that puts you in the Christmas spirit. Something that has always been my favorite and has always worked for me, along with all the others, is the Fred Waring Orchestra and Chorus version of The Night Before Christmas.
Mm, good tip there, Tom.
Google it and listen to it.
Huh. I will. Did you know that the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas was written by an Episcopal priest?
No.
Yes, Clement Clark Moore was an Episcopal priest at the General Theological Seminary in New York. And one of the traditions, it's where I went to seminary, one of the traditions there was that the dean of the seminary would gather all the kids around and read it to them. Every year around this big giant fireplace. So we actually did a recording. If you go on our website, go to the front page, stphillipstucson.org, and you will see a video there that says, it says a Christmas welcome. And we invited the kids in the parish to read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So they're all reading it.
Wow.
And there's a little choral accompaniment to it. So it's a big part of tradition at our place too.
stphillips.org.
Yeah, Tucson. stphillipstucson.org.
Okay. All right, we'll take our break right here. We'll be back with Father Robert. Talk a little bit with Father Robert about why we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December. I think the answer will surprise a lot of people. And why do we say Merry Christmas? I also know the answer to that, and that might surprise some people too. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
To children of all ages, Christmas means Santa Claus.
There you go. Tom, jump back in here. Again, this is
Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians, the orchestra and choral group.
Very, very good. Welcome back, folks. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, one of our great sponsors. We call them legacy sponsors because, you know, our 10-year anniversary for the radio show is coming up the first Monday in January. 10 full years since I launched the radio show after 22 years behind the camera on TV on Channel 6. So one of the great sponsors has been Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, and they've been terrific. They want us and want me to tell you, you know, better days are coming. You can start your planning for Silver City in 2021 by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. So you'll be ready when New Mexico is once again ready to open up to out-of-state visitors. That day is coming, and our fingers crossed, hopefully very soon. We continue now with our conversation with Father Robert Hendrickson, the rector of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. Father Robert, why do we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December? We know that it of course marks the birth of Jesus, but what's the significance of the date other than that?
Well, it's a complicated question. The first mention we have of the 25th of December being the date we would celebrate the Nativity of Jesus, as it is on the church calendar, is from about the 4th century. And so it's relatively early in our history that's established as the date. Now, there's always been some debate about, well, he could have been actually born in the spring, or he could have been born in the summer. But ultimately, at some point, you have to make a decision. You have to decide when you're going to do something. I guess you could celebrate it every day, but that gets complicated. So the 25th of December becomes the sort of fixed date by about 312, 325 in the church calendar. And then from there, that's a pretty ancient recognition. Now, there's always been this sort of theory that, we overlapped it with the Roman feast of Sol Invictus, the sun god, or we overlapped it with pagan festivals in Europe. The challenge is we don't really find mention of that until about the 12th century. And so that's a pretty long stretch of time to have the date sort of recognized by the church as being the one we would choose to celebrate it on, and then sort of other ideas sort of around how it got chosen popping up later.
Then the Puritans had a Scrooge-ish idea.
Yes. I always tell people.
Everybody's got to work on Christmas Day. What the heck?
I always tell people, you know, if you like to have fun and be merry, the Puritans are not your friends. I
mean, no. So they didn't really look real kindly on Christmas. But then Byron's kind of like the birth of our country in around 1770s. Christmas got to be kind of a pretty wild celebration. And Merry Christmas was born out of that. Yeah, let's be real, Merry. And there was a lot of, how should we say this? Well, people were drunk and carousing, you name it.
Absolutely. You know, the interesting thing about sort of well, all religious history, but in Christian religious history in particular, is that it is the history of how people mark these things. So there are all these sort of very odd sort of ins and outs in these things. The contemporary, I don't know what you want to call it, conception of Christmas probably really comes around really in the Victorian era. So you begin to get things like 'Twas the Night Before Christmas written. You begin to see Christmas cards being sent with these sort of, some of them are very bizarre images. The first Christmas cards were very strange. Mm. But if you do Google Victorian Christmas cards, you will find the most bizarre assortment of cards that you can imagine. And so I think our modern conception, then of course when radio and TV come, then those ideas begin to get fixed. It's Burl Ives, it's Rudolph, it's all that sort of stuff that have become our traditions. It's really relatively modern. I mean, the Christ Mass was, there was a Mass on Christmas Eve, the Mass of the birth of Christ, and that's what you went to. So it was called the Christ Mass. And so, you know, for much of our history, that was basically how it was conceived of. And then some people started carousing, the Puritans got mad, and then we sort of, in modernity, sort of solidified what we think it means.
Then there was this whole argument in the 1990s about, we can't say Merry Christmas. We have to change it to Happy Holidays, more of a generic thing. But maybe Happy Holidays isn't so bad after all.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't bother me. It's sort of like, you know, anytime someone says something nice to me, I'm not going to respond, jerk. You know what I mean? If somebody wants to say Happy Holidays, great.
Yeah.
I mean, and in a culture where I'm talking to you, I don't know what your beliefs are. It's a pretty safe thing to say. And if somebody wishes me, a Merry Christmas or whatever they're going to wish me, I'm delighted, right? I mean, just sort of general exchanges of pleasantry are kind of what keeps civilization afloat. And so this, you know, the more we get angry at each other for saying the wrong ones, that feels like yet another sign of the kind of erosion of our sort of sense of just kind of decency and decorum with one another. So Happy Holidays to me works just fine. It's a pluralistic country, and Merry Christmas does. And if somebody, you know, wants to wish me something else, you know, anything other than ill wishes, then I'm happy with it.
So St. Nicholas, is that a real saint?
Yes, St. Nicholas of Myra. Yes. So he was, here are some things he was known for. Yeah. First, he was known for opposing vehemently a heresy called Arianism. And in fact, he got so angry that he actually punched sort of one of these heretics at the Council of Nicaea. So that's one thing he's known for. But he's also known for being the patron saint of folks who are on death row.
Really?
And the reason is he was known as being someone who would intercede with Roman authorities with great vigor to stop executions of prisoners and for those who were being persecuted. In fact, one of the stories is that he came into town and heard that the Roman governor was about to execute someone and sort of ran across town to stand in between the blade and the person who was going to be executed. So he became someone who was known for intercession for those who were convicted and who were going to be condemned to die.
But his day is when?
Feast of St. Nicholas is the 18th.
Okay, think, yeah. But it's not the 25th.
No, it's not the 25th. It's close to it.
But some people might think, assume that, it's St. Nicholas Day.
No, it's close to it. But, most of those days are selected historically on when the person died. So they. Mm-hmm. So.
And then there's St. Stephen's Day.
St. Stephen's Day.
So folks want to keep kind of Christmas going.
The 12 days of Christmas. You have, you have St. Stephen's Day, Holy Innocence Day, Feast of St. Thomas Becket, the Eve of the Epiphany. Sort of that's why you have 12 days of Christmas, because those four masses leading up to the Epiphany sort of also were part of the 12 days of celebrating up to the Epiphany.
And for the Orthodox, Greek Orthodox Church, Christmas is actually in January.
Yes.
It's January, I believe, 6th or something like that.
Yeah, I was actually in Bethlehem and in Jerusalem for Orthodox Christmas last year.
Uh-huh.
And it's just amazing.
Folks want to kind of keep it going.
They could. They could just convert to Orthodoxy on January 7th, right?
There you go. All right, Father Robert, all the best to you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. all of that, because we really do need a happy new year, don't
we? Indeed. Blessings to you and your family and everyone listening.
Thank you very much, Father Robert Hendrickson, St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. And a quick plug for St. Philip's. The website, Father Robert, is?
stphillipstucson.org.
And that will be the place for tomorrow's?
Services, 3 o'clock children's pageant, 5 o'clock high mass with brass and choir and all of that.
And the children's pageant will be kind of quick, right?
35 minutes.
Should be fun. All right. Thank you very much. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We are going to be doing one of the best of programs, what we call best of, but I like to say they're programs that are worth a second listening. That will be tomorrow and Christmas. So I'll be able to spend a little time with the family. On behalf of Father Robert and Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Have a great holiday, everybody. Back with you Monday live on KVOI.